Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of monkeys in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Long Box Guys. My name is Tom Strange, and with me as always are my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Josh, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good, and I'm drinking a beer called Lawyers, Guns, and Honey.
Ah, I take off on the great Warren song.
It's from Lamplighter Brewing in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's a delicious honey IPA.
How much of Lawyers, Guns, and Money can you sing, Josh?
None.
Really? You don't like the song?
No. Nope.
That's a great song. It's one of my favorite Warren Zevon songs of all time. LT, how you doing and what are you drinking? And how much of that song could you sing?
I can't sing very much of it.
Really? You can't even give me the opening line? Come on.
That's a
Send no. Lawyers, Guns, and Money?
I was stranded in Havana. Come on, man. One of the best opening lines of a song of all time. What are you drinking there, bud?
I unfortunately don't have anything to drink because I just got into Atlanta and had time to set up my computer just in time to make this podcast. So well, I didn't have time to grab anything to drink.
All right, so we're going to expect your B game today because you're always better when you're drunk off your ass. Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I'm drinking some bourbon and some water.
Bourbon and water is excellent. I am drinking a Lemmy, which is a Diet Coke and Jack Daniels, and I'm having a great time. It's a very American drink. I should be drinking a port or a lager or something because today we're going to be talking about something very British. We're going to be talking about the most British thing you can talk about, Captain Britain. Are you guys big fans? Anybody?
Yeah, I love Captain Britain.
I like Captain Britain. I love the costume. I did my 23andMe genealogy, and I found out that I am like 100% white guy. Like, if I was planned, it would be a miracle that I turned out this white. But all Great Britain, Scottish, and just a little enough Portuguese to make me fun at parties, I suppose. So Captain Britain is one of my new favorites just because I am so very, very British. And let me get you a little bit of the background on Brian Braddock, the superhero. Brian Braddock, Captain Britain. So he is a fictional character who first appeared in American comic books published by Marvel. He first appeared in Captain Britain Weekly number 1, 1976, the beginning of a serial best remembered by four runs of Chris Claremont and Alan Moore. And once again, for an Alan Moore comic book, very little rape. This character was initially intended just for British comic books and was one of Marvel's, you know, ideas of branching out and doing a British-only comic. I didn't know that. I just read that today.
For a while there, they were doing reprints of different issues of Marvel comics over in Britain. They were in a black and white format. So when they decided to create the Captain Britain comic, even though they decided to go color and for the first like 18 or 19 issues of it, but the comic itself was only like about 10 pages. It wasn't a full comic, and they would fill it with old Marvel stories in the back, usually Fantastic Four or Nick Fury or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that.
Yep. Captain Britain actually was just an 8-page filler at one point. And matter of fact, no one's even really sure who created the look, though John Romita Sr. seems to be the one who probably did, but he doesn't remember because they were just churning out stuff at that time. The first two issues of the comic book by itself were free gifts, and they came with a Captain Britain cardboard mask and a Captain Britain boomerang. I don't remember ever using a boomerang. Do you guys?
He did not.
All right. I'm just putting it out there. So he
used a staff for a bit.
Yeah, I remember the staff.
Yeah, the staff that could extend.
Yeah, scepter.
Yeah,
the scepter, yeah.
The costume was later brought up to what we know today by, I think, Garth Ennis. Is that correct? Anybody know that for sure?
Garth Ennis is a writer, so I'd say no.
All right. That's I just got a couple of things down here. I should have made more notes. Didn't know I was going to be doing this. Davis. Who's Davis?
Alan Davis.
Alan Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alan Davis is an artist. I don't know if he actually did the character update.
No, but he did update it. This is what he wrote. I decided to base the costume on military uniforms. If you've ever seen the mounted guards outside of Buckingham Palace, you'll recognize the components, the white leggings, the tall boots, the flaps over the knees. Those were easy. The headgear took a bit more time because I wanted to look like a helmet rather than a mask. And the stripes across the chest started as two cross sashes and underwent numerous changes. So there wasn't a lot of British superheroes that I remember except for Union Jack. And Union Jack and Captain Britain, I thought, were, you know, similar enough that I'm not sure why they just didn't use Union Jack. I was never a huge fan of Captain Britain myself. Later he moves on to Head Excalibur. Anyone here a big fan of the Excalibur?
I kind of like Excalibur.
Yeah. I have managed to collect the entire series, but I haven't read it yet because I've been getting it from quarter books.
I liked Excalibur. I read it when it first came out.
My problem with Excalibur is sometimes it seemed to be like a really good comic book, and sometimes it seemed to think of itself more as like a funny book because some of the characters like the Red Queen and some of the Alice in Wonderland stuff was so over the top that it was kind of bringing me out of a comic book and putting me more into a funny book.
Yeah, I just like the way they started to bleed some of the X-Men characters into the book. And that sort of gave like – it was sort of like a lateral promotion for some of the X-Men characters when they wanted to give them bigger roles or bigger international presence. And I really like they moved, you know, Kitty and Nightcrawler over there. And that sort of started their more independent careers, you know, sort of away from the X-Men. And I think that gave other writers a chance to sort of take those characters and utilize them a little more rather than just the straight line the X-Men was until the late 90s where they just murdered us with crossovers. But that's kind of like what I liked about the book is that they sort of gave X-Men an outlet where they got to step out of their roles that were expected, and they kind of took on bigger roles in other comics. And I think Excalibur was one of those books.
No, I never thought of it like that, but that's a good an insight. So let's talk a little bit about his origin. So Brian Braddock was born and raised in a small town in Essex, educated at Fettes College in Edinburgh. Brian was a shy, studious child. The family was aristocratic, no longer rich, but they were still in that upper crust. After the death of his parents, in what seemed like a laboratory accident, Brian takes a fellowship at Dartmoor University. Dartmoor just sounds sinister, doesn't it? Like right off the bat.
It's going to Hogwarts.
Yeah. When the facility is attacked by the technological criminal Joshua Strog, alias the Reaver. That's funny. Brian tries to find help by escaping on his motorcycle. That never works. Get a car, guys.
Never works.
Although he crashes his bike in a nearly fatal accident, Merlin and his daughter, the Omniversal Guardian Roma, appear to the badly injured Brian, and they give him a choice. You guys remember what the choice was? Amulet or sword. It was the Amulet of Right or the Sword of Might. Considering himself not to be a warrior and unsuited for the challenges that might ensue if he took a sword, he chooses the amulet, and that transforms Brian Braddock into the mighty Captain Britain. Of course, he is only one of many Captain Britons, as in the Marvel comic multiverse, has a Captain Britain on every different universe, like the 616 has. And they are collectively known as the Captain Britain Corps, a little bit like the Green Lantern Corps. there are many, many of these, and we've seen different iterations over the time. And that's the basis of our good friend Captain Britain. And I do like the staff because it looks like he could really club somebody with that son of a bitch, doesn't it?
Yeah, I kind of do like the older costume better. I like the traditional, like, British, like, the royal lion and the maroon and black and the gold staff compared to the more contemporary sort of Captain America allegory costume.
Yeah. The Captain America, I mean, I like that too because I kind of like Union Jack.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice and clean. It's just done. It's like it's been done. Like, I like the other side. I like the old one.
Yeah,
the old school.
I'm with you.
And I got into an argument with our friend of the podcast, Victor Dandridge. He was trying to argue that Captain Britain's costume now is better than it used to be. And I was like, there is no way. To the point where I went out and I found some graphic novels, hardcover editions of Captain Britain, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And I gave them to Victor to because it's a rewriting of Captain Britain's first series and his appearances in, you know, Marvel Team Up and some other books, just to prove to him what a much better costume it was. And he admitted I was right.
Of course.
Did he admit that he was wrong, or did he just give up? Was he just sick of talking to you about it?
It could have been just sick of talking to me about it.
Okay. I'm just
a little from column A, a little from column B.
I'm just saying this.
I like to think of him like my first time. I wore him down.
I've won a lot of arguments with my wife, and then later on realized that she just didn't want to talk about that anymore. And that's fine. I'll take the win.
I'd always hoped that when they changed his costume, they had changed his origin. I was never a big fan of the whole. It just seems like there are too many British heroes based on the repetitive folklore of Merlin. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Mage as a comic. I like Captain Britain as a character. It's just at some point, Britain, you gotta come up with another idea than Merlin. And it starts to drive me a little nuts.
Merlin is their 9/11. If they have a problem, Josh, and they can't solve it, they'll just go, Merlin.
Merlin did it, yeah.
So, Josh, what you're saying is you want just a little bit of super science in the British Isles.
You can pick a different myth if you like. I'm not afraid. It doesn't have to always be Merlin or anything in the Merlin myth.
Josh is like, I want just a little bit Loch Ness Monster. Can I just have just a little bit Loch Ness Monster?
I will take Fin Fang Foom as the Loch Ness Monster any day over the Merlin myth.
After Captain Britain got canceled, he started appearing as a backup feature in Super Spider-Man and then later on Hulk Weekly. And during that time, they take Captain Britain and now that he's no longer the lead, it's all black and white, but they take him in a weird, trippy dimension or direction. They go from sci-fi to mythology and just wherever they feel like going at that point. And it's actually pretty cool. Larry Lieber is credited as the plotter. So, you know, he's just saying, I don't know. He fights the Loch Ness Monster. Okay, they do something. Okay, it's Loch Ness Monster. Now he fights, aliens. Okay, it's aliens. And then later on, he teams up with, of course, the ultimate team-up, the Black Knight.
Both Excalibur, yeah.
Yeah, both based on that. And that is a saga that continues in the weekly comics week after week for quite a long time, their quest.
So here's the question. If the Black Knight already existed, he already had the sword. Now, if Braddock chooses the sword, does the Black Knight lose Excalibur?
No, it's the Sword of Might is what he was being chosen by, and actually Reaver took it. But we never hear about the Sword of Might again.
Huh, okay. So the Sword of Might is not.
Initially.
Yeah. So He basically has a sub-sword of Excalibur.
He's got the knockoff brand.
So, which is ironic because he's physically a hell of a lot more powerful than the Black Knight.
Reaver?
No, Captain Britain.
Oh, yeah, Captain Britain definitely is.
So but if he had taken the sword, would he just been like, dude with the sword?
Yeah.
That's lame. Messed up.
Yeah. Well, the sword of might actually shot bolts of energy from it.
Okay.
So maybe it's a little better than Excalibur. I don't know.
See where I'm going here?
They changed his power set, all right? Leave me alone. I don't know what to say.
Merlin's, like, just messing with people all over the place. Like, Excalibur should be, like, the big reward. And then Captain Britain seems like he's a hell of a lot more powerful than Black Knight, even though Black Knight's rolling around with Excalibur on his flying horse.
Look, Merlin was a giant psychological professor before Skinner. He was doing all sorts of experiments on people.
Yeah. Not just in Marvel, but in DC Comics, too. So.
It's true. That guy's all over the place.
Yes.
So you are missing one of the most important things about Captain Britain. You didn't mention his twin sister, Betsy Braddock.
Betsy Braddock? Why would I mention Betsy Braddock?
Also known as Psylocke. Yeah. Who also created by Chris Claremont, which is one of the reasons why he brings her into the series. Chris Claremont created a bunch of characters before and during his run on the X-Men. And when those books got canceled, he was like, I don't care. I want them. And so that's why you see Captain Britain joining Excalibur, hanging out with mutants. That's why you see Betsy Braddock becoming a mutant, the Psylocke. That's why you see Carol Danvers. Her personality being absorbed by Rogue, so that way he has Ms. Marvel. Chris Claremont just can't let characters go.
They're his. Like, sometimes you just want to take what you own, right? Like, and you can't fault his interaction for them because he pulls them in the best way possible, and Psylocke becomes a serious badass in
sexy
the X-Men canon. Sexy ninja with psi blades, like she is just fantastic. And even though whatever was it, X-Men Apocalypse, worst X-Men movie ever, but it was what's her name playing Psylocke?
Olivia Munn.
Yeah. And I was just happy to see that.
Yes, me too.
So, what were some of you guys' favorite series? As far as Captain Britain goes, I know what Tom is going to choose. Or I think I know what Tom is going to choose. I could be totally wrong.
Well, one of the very first times the greatest villain of all time shows up. Yep. Am I wrong, Mike?
No, Marvel team up number 65 and 66. His first appearance in the United States.
And who does he fight? Yeah, they got to bring in a heavy hitter. They got to bring in someone that can take it to him.
Captain Britain and Spider-Man against... Arcade.
And the pinball machine of doom. It was mostly in a giant pinball machine, which is awesome.
So that was the first time I have that Marvel team up, and I remember buying it because I usually didn't buy Spider-Man, but I saw Captain Britain on the cover and I was like, that dude looks so cool. I need to buy it. And of course, superheroes get into fights. That's the trope that they have. And sure. Peter Parker is hosting exchange student Brian Braddock. And Braddock is jet lagged and he tries to go to sleep. So Peter's like, I'm going to sneak out and be Spider-Man. And as he's sneaking out, Braddock wakes up and sees Spider-Man and thinks that he has broken into Peter Parker's apartment and turns into Captain Britain and fights him. Because comic books.
Because comic books.
And Arcade appears several times in the Excalibur comic book.
That's true.
He's always trying to get back at Captain Britain and Excalibur.
That is true. Another good reason for me to love that comic book. I just don't. But I do love Arcade, and Arcade is great in that. And less to say.
What do you got, Josh? Any recommendations?
Yeah, no, I just like the original Excalibur, and like I said, it sort of becomes it's really the one of the first other X-Men teams as they peel people off and start to explore characters sort of outside of the umbrella or the shadow of the main X-Men personas. So it's nice that they let them sort of spread their wings there and create a book that was new and interesting. And like Tom said, sometimes it was a little on the leaning too much towards the comedy side, and they didn't take themselves maybe quite serious enough. But I liked the book, and I liked the character, and it was just a good launch point for some of the folks who needed a new launch point.
Yeah.
So I'm going to recommend, if you get a chance, I have found these in bargain bins. It's the hardcover Captain Britain Volume 1 Birth of a Legend, which has his entire first series in it. Not all the other backup stories or anything, but all the Captain Britain stories. And it's, the first few are written by Chris Claremont, and it's a different style of writing back then because they always had to assume that comic book was somebody's first comic book. So they have to explain his origin and how you get superpowers in every comic. And there's a lot of inner dialogue. Then he just starts breaking into speech. It's kind of weird from a modern reader's point of view, but it's good reading it and getting an idea of the sense of, you know, how comics were getting worked back then. And it's got a lot of great other features in it, including a letter from Stan the Man, Lee, nice. That was printed in the back of the first issue, which I will read for you, because you know Stan loved to sell himself in Marvel Comics. And it's called A Personal Message from Stan Lee. It had to happen. Even though Marvel heroes are the world's most popular comic book characters, the time has come for a new superhero, one who will be Britain's own. Month after month, you have demanded him. Comicdom has needed him. All of Britain has been waiting for him, and now he's here at last. Imagine, specially written and drawn just for you, never before printed in any other magazine. With indescribable pride, we have presented for the first time anywhere Britain's greatest superhero, defender of the weak and oppressed, destroyer of evil and injustice, the mightiest, most mysterious man on earth, the one and only Captain Britain. Stan Lee, superpower with superlatives.
That's true.
And hyperbole.
No yes. doubt.
Oh, my gosh. And they do have a copy of the mask and the boomerang that was given in there, which is awesome. And they've got some other drawings. The his team up with Captain America, which is actually after Chris Claremont leaves, is it's pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. It's not great. Not a great story at all.
Wait, Chris Claremont left and a comic book went sideways? I don't understand.
That seems weird, right? It doesn't make sense.
It does seem weird.
But it does depict Nick Fury as a bit of a dick. So if you like that kind of stuff, it's pretty good.
Nick Fury was kind of a dick.
He should be.
He's the head of a spy organization.
Yeah. He's got a lot of stuff on his mind, too.
It's not good humor,
can't be
man.
Like the, yeah, you can't be the leader of a clandestine service and be like a nice guy. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, all
right. Right, Mike? Yeah. Wink, wink, nod, nod, huh?
I have no idea. I would assume. Yeah.
I don't understand why anyone would think that.
Anybody got any last things about Captain Britain?
Well, I kind of liked the issue where he first met his girlfriend, Megan. I want to say it was in Marvel Comics Present number 31. In it, he mistakes Megan for an animal attacking a bum, because she was going at this bum kind of all feral because he was smelling so horribly that she couldn't take it. And so he attacks her. And in the attack, due to some of the sort of damage that just happened from their fight, a child lost his life. And Captain Britain really had to take a step back from everything he was doing and reassess everything that he was doing, to realize that there were consequences to his actions and that he couldn't just always be on the kind of galactic level, that he had to really think of things from a street level sometimes, because he had kind of always had this kind of elitist sort of feeling. And because of it, this kid died, on his watch. And so it was kind of an interesting storyline that they took. And it stuck with him. If you look at some of those early Excalibur issues, he ponders it and he thinks, you know, never again. I got to pay more attention to what's going on in my surroundings. And that kind of is typical with Captain Britain, is that he will go in slugging before in the situation, and it isn't always the right choice, and he has to kind of back off later on. And
that's kind of a different character, too. I think in addition to changing his power set, they changed his personality a lot. Because if you read some of the first ones, he's a nuclear engineer and very thoughtful in the first in his UK run.
I think that also plays to the fact that he chose the amulet of Amulet of Wisdom over the Sword of Might, because he was more of a thinker more than just a straight-on fighter.
Is Captain Britain the greatest British hero?
Hell no.
We won't answer that question. We're not going to argue that, because that's what we're going to do next week on The GOAT, the greatest of all time. If you would like to listen to it, you can go over to patreon.com/thelongboxguys, and for just $1 a month, you get access to our GOAT podcast. How's that for a plug?
Yeah. And you can even gift that as a Christmas present to someone else.
Yeah, someone either you like or someone you really dislike. Either way, totally for that. Think of the guy you hate the most and give him a subscription to the Long Box Guy's GOAT.
Make him listen to the GOAT every month and just drive him nuts. He'll be thinking he's paying for it. That's just good humor.
Yeah.
But if you like us, maybe you should go and get one for yourself too, because it's almost Christmas, for God's sakes. That's a little tangential to what we were talking about. Sorry about that. Tangents are usually your thing, Josh. Josh, you got a tangent for us?
Yeah, it's involved. This tangent might spread multiple podcasts.
All right.
Because nobody can just spend this much time on this. This was mentioned on Twitter, and now it's been in my head. I cannot get it out of my head, and I can't settle on any decisions. It's really tough. So two things. We're going to look at if the Muppets were the Avengers, who's who, or if the Muppets were the Justice League, who is who.
Let's do the Avengers.
Okay,
that's too much otherwise.
All right, here's Animal is Wolverine.
Here's my Muppets list. What are we doing? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, let's go Muppet by Muppet.
So hold on. So we got
Kermit's Captain America.
Yeah, Kermit's Cap.
Okay, so Kermit, you think is Captain America?
So yes. Fozzie is probably either Thor.
Whoa! Ease up. Did we just say we're going character by character?
Okay.
And everyone, nobody's given a decision yet. So we got Kermit here. Originally, I had Kermit as the Hulk. So that's green on green,
it's
baby.
Great. No, you're just now.
No, that's just too easy.
Of course. You need to lead the planner. That's the thinker of the group. That's Kermit. That's easy.
Okay. I had Sam Eagle as Captain America, but okay.
No, he's Super Patriot.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a deep cut.
Or
anyway.
U.S. agent, whatever you want to call him.
Okay, so Kermit, you guys have Captain America. Miss Piggy, what do you got?
Ms. Marvel. Oof. Or excuse me, Captain Marvel now. Carol Danvers.
I had Thor. Blonde hair. She'd look great in a helmet.
She would. I think I've seen that episode where they did an opera.
She is kind of bossy. Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got Thor's demeanor.
Now, I'll yield to your wisdom.
Has She-Hulk ever been a member of the Avengers?
She-Hulk? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
She-Hulk, sure. I'll go with She-Hulk. She gets mad. Miss Piggy gets mad. She takes off her Ally McBeal lawyer outfit, and boom, she's She-Hulk.
Yeah, I think Josh is right with Thor.
I think Josh is on to something with Thor.
I can go with Thor.
Fozzie the Bear.
Waka waka waka. Well, obviously, in an alternate universe, he'd be the comedian. As easy as one we've ever done. Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie.
He'd be fun as the Hulk, but the Hulk never got mad in his life. I mean, Fozzie never got mad in his life.
What you doing?
He's basically, so in my mind, Fozzie is both comic relief, actor, and vaudevillian, which leads me to Wonder Man.
I was thinking more Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What?
Fozzie as Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Spidey does provide a lot of comic relief.
He provides a lot of comic relief.
Yeah, I don't see Fozzie as Spider-Man.
Well, really, he'd be Grizzly. But Grizzly was never an Avenger.
Yeah. He was definitely never an Avenger.
Maybe Hawkeye? No, Hawkeye's got too...
Hawkeye's too serious. Or at least...
I like Wonder Man or Spider-Man, but I'm leaning a little bit more towards Wonder Man.
I know technically Spider-Man has been an Avenger, but I will never consider Spider-Man an Avenger.
Well, you don't have to. It's like science. You don't have to believe it.
Yeah.
Science is okay with you not believing it. Science continues. I'm gonna go with you, Josh. I'm gonna go with Wonder Man. We got 2-2 here, I think.
All right, Gonzo.
Oh, he's definitely Iron Man.
Really? I had Gonzo down as Hawkeye.
No, he's definitely Iron Man.
I could see him as
Iron Man. The guy who throws the fish is Hawkeye's.
Yeah,
I mean, he does have all the ladies.
Okay. So we got Gonzo.
He's always trying to work.
He's always inventing shit.
He is always inventing shit. Okay, I'll go with Gonzo as Iron Man. That's fine. Scooter. That's who I had as Iron Man originally.
Falcon.
Yeah.
Falcon? Yeah. Okay.
The support for Captain America.
Fair enough.
Wait a minute. No. Moon Knight. Not for Scooter, though. For Gonzo. Moon Knight. No one would know. Why not? No one would know when he's screwing around.
Yeah. All right. Rolf. This is Tom's favorite.
Yeah, absolutely my favorite guy. So anyone but Jack of Hearts. You know what? I'll go Luke Cage.
I would go Luke Cage on Rolf, too.
Sure, why not?
Sure.
I got nothing better. Animals, definitely Wolverine.
Yeah,
that's a given.
That's fine. Sweetums?
Hulk.
Are we going with Hulk?
Who's Sweetums?
He's the only, actual guy in a suit. Giant.
Oh, yeah, that's a Hulk.
Yeah. Okay.
Hulk. Also known as Jack.
Yeah, okay.
Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, that's a good one. Whoa. I'm going to go with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Yeah, I thought about that too, because they're siblings. I just don't know. I'm not sure about that one.
Vision and Scarlet Witch?
That's creepy for Statler and Waldorf.
That's kind of why Quiet like it.
that's a little weird.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
All right, we can all agree Bunsen Honeydew is Hank Pym and Beaker is Janet Van Dyne, right?
Oh, yeah.
I have them as Doctor Strange and Wong.
More science-based.
No, I'm good with those two being Janet Pym. I'm good. Okay. Statler and Waldorf can be Flatman and Doorman.
Nah, Great Lakes Avengers don't count.
Great Lake Avengers don't really count as Avengers.
Fine.
We don't have anyone for Statler. What about the Swedish Chef? What if we turn on the chef?
Captain Britain.
Defend Britain.
I had him as Hercules.
Either way.
I like Hercules. Let's go Hercules. With Hercules.
So originally I had Rizzo the Rat as Ant-Man because I thought a giant rat when he went big would be awesome.
That would be cool. I got him as the Two-Gun Kid. Prove me wrong, children. Though I would like to see him dressed up as Black Widow, too.
Moon Knight.
I had Janice Black Widow.
Who?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Janice from the band.
From the band, man, sure.
Oh, and then Zoot has to be Vision.
Yeah, because he definitely skipped the groove.
Exactly.
Zoot skipped the groove, man.
Of my Wilbur names.
I would say Dr. Teeth is probably Dr. Strange.
All right. So that leaves us with really Statler and Waldorf. There's nobody else in the band, right? It's Animal, Dr. Teeth, Janice, and Zoot. There's nobody else in the band? Yeah? Right?
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Statler and Waldorf? Yeah? Vision and Scarlet Witch. Okay. Who's who?
Oh, Statler is definitely Quicksilver.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. There's no doubt about it.
Quicksilver and Waldorf is Scarlet Witch. All right. I'll post those. We'll post it to the Patreon page, but it'll be public to everybody.
And we'll also post it on our website.
And on YouTube and everywhere. We're going to put it everywhere.
Yeah, speaking of YouTube, if you haven't checked out Josh's Secret Origin, it is excellent, and we have some more Secret Origins that are in the pike. So go ahead and check out the Long Box guys on YouTube.
Yeah, do that.
Did we land somewhere on Rizzo the Rat, by the way? Because I'm still with the two-gun kid on him.
We Ant-Man'd him.
All right. How about Star Fox? That'd be funny, too.
Oh, did we decide on Sam Eagle?
Oh, Star Fox him.
No, U.S. agent.
Yeah, you're right.
He's definitely a West Coast Avenger. Cool.
We don't have a Hawkeye. Is he not a Hawkeye?
No, that would probably be Lips.
Hawkeye?
Lips, the trumpet player from the Electric Mayhem, would be Hawkeye.
Oh, see, I asked about that anymore.
No, I still think it's the boomerang guy.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, the guy with the flying fish.
My boomerang fish.
All right, well, that does it for the tangent. Next week's tangent, hopefully we can fill out the...
Same form, but for the Justice League.
I was going to say Super Friends, but fine.
Whatever.
Mike, what do you got at the front of the long box for us?
At the front of the long box, I have a new series by Boom Studios. You may have heard of it before. It's a little book called Firefly.
Boom, baby, boom.
So Boom Studios now has it, and Greg Pak is writing it. He never actually watched Firefly. He had seen the movie Serenity and liked it, and somebody called him up and said, hey, you want to do this comic? He's like, I don't know if this is really for me. Then went back and watched the series and was like, oh, my God, this is brilliant. I love Westerns. And he is telling the story of what happens between the end of Firefly and before Serenity, the movie. So all your favorite characters are still alive.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Doesn't come out
reverse spoiler alert?
No. No spoiler alert for the movie that came out like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Tommy, what do you got in the back of the long box?
I have Port of Earth by Zach Kaplan and Andrea Moody. It's a story about an alien race that comes and offers to put a port on the Earth in exchange for giving the Earth technology for a water engine. And it was kind of interesting because most alien stories are about, you know, aliens coming in peace, et cetera, and so forth, and galactic federations and such. Instead, this is a corporation coming and being like, hey, we'd like to use your space. In exchange, we'll give you this little piece of technology. And of course, who do they make the deal with but corporations on Earth? And so it's kind of an interesting story, an interesting take. I recommend it. It was kind of a good story. I'm looking forward to reading more of it.
How long ago did that come out? It kind of rings a bell. Did we talk about this before?
I haven't talked about it.
It just rings a bell for me. So, but it sounds terrific. Has anyone else read that one?
Nope.
No.
All right.
I am writing a story that's very similar.
Sorry to hear that. Now that you know it's already been written.
Different enough.
All right. Well, what do we got to? I guess that brings us over to plugs, guys. What do we got to plug? Hopefully, we're plugging Wizard World New Orleans. We're coming down anyways, I think, just to hang out with our good friend Mike.
That's right. Wizard World New Orleans, January 4th, 5th, and 6th in New Orleans. Come see our panel if we have one.
Yeah. 4th, 5th, and 6th. I better double check on those things. Plus, Lady wants to come down for that one.
Sweet.
You like New Orleans.
Yeah, well, New Orleans is great. A lot of fun.
You should also check out Kirby Crackle. They provide our geek rock music every week. Their website is kirbycracklemusic.com, or you can download their music at iTunes or Bandcamp.
That's terrific news. And Josh, how's Epic Nerd Camp coming along? You excited about the new season coming around?
We'll see. It's a new location. It's easier for people coming from down south. But yeah, come play with me with swords and lightsabers and stuff.
Where's it going to be this year?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought we already had the new location picked out.
We do. I just don't remember.
Oh, okay. LT, anything to plug, buddy?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com for verifying T-shirts and other geeky things such as stained glass prints and Johnny Skywalker Rocks glasses and socks and other great things. It's never too early to get out there and get your Christmas shopping done at geekorthodox.com.
Well put, my good friend. And let me just say a little shout-out to our good friend Sammy Savage over at Who's Next Podcasting. The last podcast was really funny. Did you go listen to that one, Mike?
Which one is it?
The cooking one they did where they cooked the giant gross thing, but it turned out pretty good. That's every cooking podcast. I'm sorry. It was like this crazy weird pizza or something. It was a taco pizza. Whatever it was, check out their cooking show. It always looks like it's going to be a train wreck, but it always ends up pretty good.
That's on their YouTube channel, Gamer Needs Food. Badly.
Gamer Needs Food. And it's that last one they did was really pretty funny. I wish I could remember more about it. All I can say is I was a little drunk when I watched it, and I laughed my ass off.
They also had a podcast called Losing Lives where they watch video game-themed movies and then talk about them. And because of them, I lost 3 lives, one for each hour of In the Name of the King.
Wow. Yeah. That's
So you watched that?
Oh, I watched the director's cut. Hey, this
I'm the one.
Hey, this is Mike the producer. I'm currently saving you guys from a 10-minute rant about In the Name of the King. And now we're going to go back to our podcast after I've discussed how bad a movie it was.
And that will do it for us this week, guys. Let me just mention Pensacon real quick. That's coming up. We just put in for a whole bunch of panels for them. Always a good time when we go see our friends down in Pensacola, Florida. One of the only parts of Florida not ravaged in some way or other by devastating storms this year. That little swath was fairly untouched. A little wind damage, but nothing else. Reported by a good friend, Diane, who lives down there. That little part seems to get lucky. Josh, Pensacola. Now, is that your sector?
Oh, yeah. The whole panhandle. The month of February is my sector.
Ooh, you're taking a lot of fucking shit.
Oh, yeah.
It goes down in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Just put crazy on my shoulders, and I'm marching into Florida.
Dude, I was just reading an article about a guy who stabbed a woman in the head with a fork because of an undercooked potato. That's Florida, buddy.
You make that sound unreasonable when you say it that way.
I know. Crazy. Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And sweet, adorable LT. How you doing there, buddy? Any last words?
This may not be the podcast you desire, but it's probably the podcast you deserve.
Damn right it is. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. And I love the new Robin Hood movie. Have a great day.
Because they were talking about how bad it was, and I was like, You think that's bad? Let me see the director's vision and see with that extra 40 minutes what he does. And holy shit. Yeah, it's pretty
bad.
What's
wrong with it?
It's just a really bad movie that there's no... Here's the plot. And that was the plot.
Well, at some point, you have to do something in the name of the king.
Burt Reynolds is the king. There's
what?
A bad... Yeah, and it's his only death scene in any movie. And he wrote his dialogue for the death scene. And let me just say, Burt Reynolds, phenomenal actor. Not a great screenwriter. Oh, yeah, watch some of his earlier stuff. He really...
Phenomenal presence.
He does his best. This is like a really weird movie. It's got a great cast, but just
does his best. You know, a lot of people do their best, Mike. It doesn't make them great at anything, regardless of what freaking middle school teachers
Deliverance,
tell kids these days.
Deliverance was an excellent movie. Sharky's Machine was excellent. The freaking Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run, it was just an excuse to drink beer with his buddies. But still, excellent movies.
It's good enough reason to have a movie to my mind.
Yeah, exactly. But In the Name of the King, Losing Lives, go check out their podcast. Check out the Losing Lives on In the Name of the King. And then you guys go watch that three-hour movie because I don't want to be the only one who has
That's
to sit through
happen.
It. Me and Uwe Boll, the director, were the only
but
ones who
I really
saw
like,
that cut.
But I really like Jason Statham. He wasn't good in it.
Oh no, it's horrible. For some reason, he knows karate
because he's Jason Statham,
right? In the medieval times, when everybody else is using swords, and so he likes to kick people who have swords, and they never think to just slice his leg as he's going to kick them in the chest. Never occurs to anybody. And then, for some reason, Burt Reynolds' army has a group of ninjas who hide in a tree during the battle scene. And then when the king is being attacked, they jump out and surround him rather than just killing the people from the trees they're hiding in. It makes no sense whatsoever. The bad guy's plan is I've got his nephew and he's going to become the king. So I'm going to poison the king, but then I'm also going to invade with an invading army. Like, why didn't you just go with the poisoning plan and see how that turned out first before you tried to invade? It's just bad. It's just bad, bad, bad.
So you're saying it's not good?
It's not good.
Now I gotta see it. God damn it. This is like...
I'll give you my copy of it.
I will avoid it like the plague.
I will watch. I will take that copy.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, I will.